All right, tonight, Brother Larry Shane, Val Austin, Texas, looking at the standard. He's come from Daniel chapter 5. Go ahead and open your Bibles up there and take notes. I'm sure you enjoy the message tonight. So at this time, Brother Larry Shane, Val Austin, Texas, looking at the standard. What is that standard, Brother Shane? Tell us about it.
Good afternoon, everyone. Larry Shedd, Eastside Church of Christ, Van Alstine, Texas. Work with the Lake Dallas congregation in Lake Dallas as well. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you tonight. In our lives, every Saturday is a standard for everything. In Exodus, God says to his people that he says, I'm the Lord your God. He says, in everything, you make sure that you go according to a standard. And when we define what a standard is, a standard is simply a certified. And I use the word certified, meaning that it is not just something that we come up with arbitrarily. It is something that it can be verified, a certified value of something, whether you're talking about a weight. A pound is a standard. And when we weigh with a pound, what we weigh with is certified to be exactly 16 ounces. A gallon is a standard. When I was working, they would come out every once in a while at the places where I worked and with the gas station, and the state government would come out with a 2 or 5 gallon pail, and they would check to make sure that the gallon that showed up on the meter on your gas pump was exactly what you were getting. If he pumped in 2 gallons at a certain rate, he wanted to make sure that you got exactly 2 gallons at that price, or you would have to go in and make adjustments because the standard was not quite right. We look at Daniel chapter 5, and we back up to chapter 4 because we need to look at the father. Nebuchadnezzar, God had given Nebuchadnezzar the power over Israel, because Israel was not meeting God's standard in righteousness. Israel had sinned. And so God gave Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the power to overtake the children of Israel. And yet Nebuchadnezzar, even as an evil man, had standards, in that Nebuchadnezzar honored God in that he did not use the vessels that he had captured when he overtook Israel, and he had simply stored them away. In chapter 5, we see where his son is now in charge, Belshazzar. And he decides to throw a feast, and you'll look in chapter 5. Don't have time to read it all. He throws a feast for 1,000 lords in his kingdom, and he gets drunk as the party goes on, and he defiles the temple of God, the standard that Israel had to meet should have been met in the temple of God, the place where God dwells. The place, and this is important, where God chose for them to worship and how they were to worship. That's the value that God put on it. And sometimes when we do anything other than the way God said do it, the warning in the Old Testament to Moses, to Noah when he built the ark, build it the way the instruction said. The warning to Moses when he comes down from the mountain, see to it that you make the tabernacle according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Belshazzar and his lords are getting drunk. So they go and they take the vessels of the temple and they began to drink wine out of them. If you really want to show your disdain for another person or for the things that he stands for, you use the things that are valuable to him and you base them in your use of them. And that's exactly what he did. And the story says, as you read through that chapter, while they are enjoying themselves in the party, a single man hand wrote on the wall. And we're just going to look at just one word in what that hand wrote down. The word tekel, T-E-K-E-L. And what Daniel, when he interprets this writing on the wall, says, you have been weighed in the balances. A balance was a scale. You took an unknown value of something and you put it on one side, and you put a known value of something and you put it on the other side in order to see how much a thing weighs. I worked at a faucet factory years ago, and we would have boxes of small parts. So what they would do, they would take a known value, a pound, and then they would count out all of these small parts until it equaled to 1 pound. The balance scale would balance. What you would do then, you would just weigh the entire box. And whatever it came out with, you divide it, you multiply the weight of the box times what 1 pound of those things weighed, and you don't have to count 15,000 small parts. You just count out 1 pound. But you can still get an how many parts are in that box. Because you used a standard. Now, I come to this because we are talking about salvation. Salvation is in the church. The church is where God put salvation. All of us, like Belshazzar, have been weighed in the balance. Whether or not we receive salvation or not is determined by how much value we put on what God has said. If we put too little value, or we do not respect God, then we don't live up to where God has put us. In Psalms 105, David says, God's truth endures forever. So if I'm going to do what God says, and God has established truth, and God is what truth is, I've got to live up to where God put truth. I've got to try my best to live up there. But if I live any way that I want to, I don't live up to God's standard. Some years ago, I wrote out an article about some things, You see, God don't judge on a grade on a scale, graduated scale. Sometimes in school, as we were going to school, if the smart kid didn't make but a 95 on the test, then 95 was an A, and we kind of graded the scale down because nobody could make 100. But God does not grade on a scale. We have to do exactly the way God said do it. 401 feet in the ark would not have been what God said if God said 400 feet. We could, if God said a lamb perfect without spot or blemish, then I need to do what God said do, because spot or blemish was not the standard that God set. God put his standard in the church. If I am not doing in the religious organization that God said do, then I haven't met his standard. My dad, a cotton farmer, would weigh cotton so that he could know about how much a bale of cotton weighed. Now, he did two things. When he hired somebody to help us pick, he had a scale, and he would weigh their cotton so he could pay them according to the standard, I'll give you so much per hundred. And then, when we were getting ready to take it to the gin, he simply shook the truck because he had wisdom enough to know that when that truck shook just right, there was enough cotton on there to weigh, to make one good bale. He didn't go by that scale. But you had to go by that scale if you were going to pay the man what he was supposed to pay him. Leviticus 19:34-35, you shall do no injustice in judgment. We need to know what we're talking about. If we want truth, we go to God, because God's truth is going to stand forever, number one, and God's not going to change in his truth, number two. It's going to be the same standard. He said, in measurement of length, measurement of weight or measurement of volume. A gallon is supposed to be a gallon. This week, next week, just like it was a gallon last week. He says, you shall use honest scales. That means that if I want to put that in religious terms, if I'm in a religious organization that God has not certified, then I'm not using any scales, because I'm not using the truth that God has set for the church. So what he's telling me then is use what is honest in what I do. When God talked to the woman in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, and he uses this big four-letter word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've got to worship God the way he has asked of me to worship him, if my worship is to be the way God has commanded. I can't do it any other way. So we go back to a history. When man sinned, God had already prepared a way to win man back, but it had to be according to God's standard. God gave man a beautiful place in the garden. He had all of these things, and he was all right as long as he met God's standard. When he broke God's standard, sin, then he was taken away from the garden, and he was punished when we don't do it God's way. The church today is where we receive salvation. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, he asked this question, what are they saying about me? And the answer comes back there saying these things, that you are one of the prophets, John the Baptist. But Jesus said, what are you saying? Peter makes this statement, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, in this, Peter, you are make the confession. This gets me to the standard where God is. I've got to believe that God, Christ, is the builder of the church, and that Christ is the one who makes the rules in the church. And Hebrews, as the Hebrew writer is beginning to prove that Christ is the one that we look for as our standard in what truth is. The writer said Moses was faithful as a servant. So the house that Moses built when he worked with the children of Israel was what the master told him to do. He says, but Jesus is the builder of his own house. We should then live so that we can be a part of the house that Jesus built. And the reason why that's important is because in our lives, Paul tells us, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned. If I've been trying to live up to my standard, I have sinned. And because I have sinned, my standard will not work on the scale that God has put out. Not my standard. I can be the best moral person you can find, but I am not meeting God's standard. So what God has said to us is that God prepares for us a perfect sacrifice for all men, for all have sinned. And when God sent his son, we need to be as the son was. I got to give up me and do the things that God would have me to do. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live ought to be a life that reflects who Christ is. I should love like Christ loves. And how do I do that? First of all, I become a part of the organization that Christ made. Because, you see, I can't love like Christ loved if I don't accept Christ as my Savior and be in the group that Christ approves. I've got to be in that group that Christ approves in order to be seen. If I'm not in that group, all the good things I do doesn't benefit me any. When we went home and there was a mother and a father, and they were not our mother and father, then until we are invited in, we can't partake of the, like the kids in that home whose parents are over that home. There's no other name, Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Let it be known to you all that, and to all the house of Israel, salvation was not in the house of Israel, even though God used the house of Israel to bring Christ, the perfect sacrifice, so that we could be in the house of God, that we could be called the children of God. He says, let it be known to you, all the house of Israel, that Jesus came to die on the cross. And what he's saying, there's no salvation in any other name or by any other authority. That's outstanding. If I'm looking for salvation, I can't find it except I look at Jesus, except I believe Jesus, except I worship God the way he would have me to do it. And he left it in his word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If you'll notice, we love John 3:16, but verse 17 and 18 says that unless we do it God's way. Why? Because Jesus said he loved God, so loved the world, that he sent, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall be saved. But he keeps right on going. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already lost. Why? Not living up to the standard. But see, when God set the standard, then now I can be saved through the love of Christ, because he, and I show that by how I obey his commands. How do you obey God's commands? Well, if you want to start a new life, if you're lost, if you have not become a member of the Church of Christ, how do you heal the way we do it? We as we listen tonight, we hear what God has to say. And then we believe it enough that we are obedient to what we have heard. We repent. That means we change and we turn away. In the story that Jesus tells of the man who had two sons, he said, one said, Father, I'm not going. The father said, go into the field. The boy said, I'm not going. And then he repented, and when he repented, he didn't turn all the way around. He turned around and headed to the field. And he did what his daddy said do. The other boy said, I'll go. But he didn't. And he didn't do what his daddy said do. You see, it doesn't matter how sinful I have been in my life. If I give up myself, if I give away my own will and turn my will to doing God's will, he'll forgive me of my sins. And if I'm living faithful, but you see, that's right, that's after baptism, because you see, I can't come into God's family unless I do things God's way. The other problem with the ark was it didn't matter how many people liked the ark. It really didn't matter if somebody came up with this brilliant idea of let's build a whole lot of ark. The only ark that floated when the flood came was the one that God authorized. If I'm going to have eternal life, with God. I've got to do this the way God said do it. So first of all, when we read, do we read and respect God's word? So many times we have very little respect for God's word. When I was growing up and we swept the floor and there was a piece of a Bible that had fallen out or was torn out, that piece was lovingly picked up and stored away. Now we don't pay any attention to what we do with our scripture. We got to keep the standard. We were taught that God was God and he demanded, deserved to be respected. We were to respect God in everything that God said. Every word of God is true. That's the standard. And what do? If I want to be pleasing to God, I go by his standard. I don't go by anybody else's standard. Remember something. I can be my own God. But how far I go is just as far as I can take me. And I can't take me very far. If I want eternal life, I got to do God's thing, God's way. As I close, I remember in the Old Testament what God said to the children of Israel. And I believe when he said it to the children of Israel, it is our example today. He said to the children of Israel, you will worship in the place where I choose. Israel couldn't choose where to worship. He says to Moses, when he was building the tabernacle, build it the way I commanded you to build it. I can't do it any other way, because any other way does not look like what God said do. I can testify to that because, you see, in our younger days, my young brother and I, we were the last two in the family, used to get into a little trouble, and we knew we put everything back exactly the way our mother left it. And yet, somehow, when she came home, she could tell us everything that we had moved around, everything we had played around with, and I couldn't understand it then. But I have children now. I understand it now. Why do I understand it now? Because while I didn't pay much attention to where I set everything, when I walked back in the house, I saw that it wasn't quite the way I left it. That I would get on my children. Do you want God to get on his children, us? Because we didn't leave it the way he commanded. The standard is certified religion. What God said is true. Let us follow what God said. I'm going to build my church, is what he said. It's not mine. So I can't change the rules because I want them to fit me. He said, I'm going to put in the rules in my building. We are God's building. We are God's church. We're the body of Christ, and the body is operated by one head. And Colossians 1:17 says Christ is the head. Christ is the head. Therefore, I can't do anything about what Christ said do, but to obey it with all my heart. Hear God's word. Believe it. Repent of your sins, because we all have sinned. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has the power to save us from our sins. When we are obedient to the faith that we have and we are baptized and live faithfully for the rest of our lives, because we are living not according to what we think, but what God has said. I say this as I close. When I was going to college, there was that old saying, God said it, I believe it, and that sells it. And I learned that that's not quite right. David says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God said it, and that sells it. Now, if I believe it, then I get rewarded if I'm obedient. If I don't believe it, then that didn't unsell any word that God said, because it was still self. Thank you for listening tonight, and I pray that if there are anything that you need to do, you can contact me. Brother Brooks has my number. If there's anything you can do, talk to the person who brought you on to the call, and we'll do everything we can, because your soul is important to us. And we don't want people to live below the standard, but we want people to live according to the standard. Thank you.